The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, today launched Build, which is described as the first annual report on the performance of Ireland's construction sector. We're joined by the Minister now. Thank you very much for joining us. Minister, earlier this week, I was at a conference at which IBEX Chief Executive Danny McCoy spoke, and he said that the private sector, completely separate from the state, is investing 1.5 billion euros a week in the Irish economy, 75 billion euros per annum. Now, this is intangible assets as well as in physical bricks and mortar construction. But by comparison, how much did the state spend in 2018 and how much is it going to spend in 2019?
So we're going to spend over 7 billion euro for this year. It'll be an increase of 1.4 billion euro versus what we spent last year.
That seems very small by comparison with what the private sector is doing.
Well, of course, as you just said there a moment ago, Matt, much of the investment that Danny will be referring to is in intangible infrastructure. Intangible infrastructure is investment in things like intellectual property, in brands, in the development of ideas and design. And that now takes up a huge portion of the investment that goes into our economy every year. What I'm referring to is the hard investment that we make into building a new public transport, new roads, new skills, investing in our universities.
Yeah, but that's so still about 7 billion this year, and it's going to be more than three times that by the private sector, isn't it?
But again, within the private sector figure, it takes account of much investment that is non-physical.
No, I'm saying the physical investment by the private sector, not the intangible stuff, but the actual office blocks, the new manufacturing facilities. There's a massive investment been put in by the private sector.
But it would be the norm in many economies in which the share of national income that is absorbed by public investment isn't always in line and at times is behind what the private sector are doing. So, for example, the private sector will be putting an awful lot of investment into building new commercial facilities, new office blocks and so on. And if you look at what our share of national income is at the moment, that is absorbed by investment in schools and hospitals, it will now be approaching the European norm. So we are quickly making up for our lost decade. That means across this year, for example, we'll be building 90 new schools, three major road projects. We'll be building over 6,500 homes directly ourselves. The investment increase that we have this year, as I said a moment ago, is just under a quarter, which is a massive increase. And what we need to ensure is that we're making the best use of that money, which is what I was looking at today.
Yeah, but there still is a fear that we're not doing these things quickly enough. And while we understand that there was this hiatus while we were under the auspices of the Troika and we weren't able to spend our money because we didn't have any money to spend, are we actually picking up the pace quickly enough? Do we have an infrastructure fit for purpose, particularly if we want to get more people, more investment into the country? Do we have enough roads and schools and houses available to attract inward investment?
Well, we did around a year ago, we did an investment and we did an audit of our overall infrastructure as a country. It showed in many cases our infrastructure is at least competitive, if not more so. When we look at where we are on ports, we look at where we are at airports, we look at where we are, for example, with our gas network, with our electricity network. But it also pointed to something that your listeners will be well familiar with, which, of course, the gaps that we do have in terms of supply of homes and the needs that we have, for example, to invest in our universities and schools. To answer your question about are we increasing it quickly enough, we have this year an increase of 1.4 billion euro, which is one of the largest increases we've had in many years. And crucially, if you look at all those who are involved in our construction sector at the moment, the construction sector in particular is nearly approaching full employment. And we're now seeing signs of wages, in fact, within that sector beginning to go up quite quickly. So the balancing act that we have to deliver here, the line that we need to walk, is increasing investment as quickly as we can while ensuring we don't give rise to the kind of inflationary pressures, which in turn means we can't then deliver the homes and the investment that people need at good value.
But are we ambitious enough in what we're looking to do? For example, over the last 4 years, you've taken in, I think it's about 14 billion more in corporation tax than you had budgeted for. And yet we haven't had a similar increase in investment in physical assets in the country. What happens is you get more money in last year in corporation tax, you use it to plug holes in current spending in the health budget. Are we actually ambitious enough with the money that we have had unexpectedly in recent years coming into the government coffers?
I think it is a fair and evident point to say that some of the additional corporation tax that has been coming in has been used to fund the difficulties that we have in overspending within our health service that we need to do better on this year. But in terms of your broad point about ambition, that is why we have Ireland 2040. We have a plan there in Ireland 2040 that's a €113 billion plan for the next decade that looks to take our investment into that which can make us a better economy and a better society above the European norm to make up for the kind of difficulty that you've described. So we have a plan that's really ambitious. It's using a significant amount of resources from the taxpayer and investing that into a better planning framework for our country as well. And we're now hard at work turning that into a reality for this year and next year.
I suppose a lot of people worry, though, about overspend, and particularly when they see what happens with the National Children's Hospital, that legitimate fears develop that the state is unable to bring in projects on budget, or even when it's outsourced to the private sector, that the private sector doesn't do it on behalf of the state. What reassurances can you give people that the example of what's happened at the National Children's Hospital won't be repeated in all of the other projects that you've announced for the coming years?
That the state has proven its ability to deliver small, medium and even large projects on time and on budget. For this year alone, three major road projects. We have 19 new school building projects. We've 18 primary care centres. We've huge investment under place in our water infrastructure that we can deliver on time and on budget, and we've a track record of doing it.
Okay, but if
so
they're,
that's the
if
first
they're
set
on
of assurances
budget,
that I would deliver.
Yeah, but if they're all on budget, how come the National Children's Hospital is so wildly off budget?
And that was going to lead me on to my next point, which is to say that we clearly have a learning and a big responsibility that I have acknowledged I will play my role in the future in relation to the mistakes that we made in the costing for the National Children's Hospital. One of the many experiences I have managing that project is there are a small number of projects that are absolutely transformative in nature, because of which it has proven difficult to put in place accurate costings and managing some elements of the delivery process on. And we made mistakes on the National Children's Hospital. I've acknowledged it. And I've also acknowledged the great anger that I know it has caused, despite the fact that I believe it will be a magnificent project in the future. And I've said how I will change the tendering process for projects like this in the future to ensure we don't make a mistake like that on a project like that again.
Are we going to miss out on other legitimate projects, such as, for example, a Metro Rail Link in Dublin, because of NIMBYism, that every time you suggest making a major investment, you'll have people for local reasons saying, oh, you can't do that here, and then we end up not getting something that's for the general good?
I'm confident that we will see the delivery of the Metro project. We do live in a democracy. We have to be cognizant of the concerns and views that local communities and residents have about projects if they're been built beside their homes or under their homes. But I have great confidence in the ability of the National Transport Authority, with support from government, to work our way through it and deliver those projects. Because at a time in which we are now rapidly investing more in our country's future, in particular, public transport has the ability to transform living standards and make a huge contribution to our climate change challenge. And I believe an acknowledgement of that combined with the work of the NTA will allow us, I hope and I believe, to navigate the challenge that you're referring to.
Okay, well then, does that mean that perhaps you should be looking for all sorts of additional train lines going back for Dublin as the capital city, given that it's the major engine of economic growth in the country, to go back to the ideas that were abandoned more than a decade ago of Dart Underground or things like that, and even if they're exceptionally expensive to do, that we'll forget about the cost in 10, 20, 30 years' time because we'll be getting the benefit from them?
And that can be the case for really, really big projects. We're all familiar with the public debate that was there, for example, when the Dublin Port Tunnel was being built. The reality now is that our city would not be able to function in the way it does if we did not have the Dublin Port Tunnel. And I could make that argument about the National Children's Hospital for the future, but frankly, I won't, because of the great disappointment I have regarding how the latter part of that project turned out and my determination to fix it for the future, because I also believe that project will be transformative for children's healthcare in the future. In relation to the point that you made on the Dart Underground, I believe we also still have to make choices because the country's money is not infinite. And I believe a good metro for Dublin is a better project for the future development of public transport in our city, combined with the expansion of the Lewis and the development of Bus Connects. All of those projects are cheaper individually to deliver than the Dart Underground project is currently designed. And I believe that's the appropriate future model for public transport for Dublin.
OK, but then outside of Dublin, the National Broadband Plan, this has been mired in controversy over the last number of months, but it's something that successive governments have failed to deliver to the people of rural Ireland. We're now in a situation where you're going to have to make a decision as to whether the one remaining bidder gets the contract. And yet the indications are that it will cost a multiple of what had been originally intended. So we get a decision apparently before Easter in relation to it. But is the Taoiseach, particularly with his comments yesterday in the Dáil, softening us up for an abandonment of that particular project?
The government has not yet made a decision in relation to the tendering process because we are, and I am currently involved in the diligence and evaluation of the proposal that's in front of us. So the Taoiseach is far from trying to soften people up for the abandonment of the project. He's very committed to the objectives of how we ensure we have the right technology across all of our country. But if we are going to go with the proposal that's in front of us, I have to be able to answer some very hard questions about it. And so will the Taoiseach, and so will Minister Bruton with the Oireachtas. And we're doing the kind of work you would expect us to do to be able to handle those questions about the decision that we make.
I'm looking forward to asking you about that eventual decision when it is made. But just a final one. There was a suggestion again from IBEC earlier this week for the introduction of a new special savings investment account type savings schemes to allow households benefiting from the economic growth to save more. This is interesting, Minister, because despite the fact that we have a major cohort of people who are still struggling financially, either with their mortgages or to pay the excessive rents, which are endemic throughout the country, we also have a generation of people who seem to be quite flush with cash. What do you think of the idea of providing them with an incentive to perhaps lend that cash to the state in some way, as IBEC has suggested, for these major infrastructure projects, and give them a bounty in return maybe 5-7 years' time?
That's not something I will be doing. The reason why I won't be doing that is we have the ability ourselves to borrow as a state at around 0.8, 0.9 of a percentage point. And if I am going to use the resources that the country gives me through the taxes that they pay to address long-term issues, which I'm determined to do, I'm going to prioritise how we fund the rollout of a pension model to cover our country. As we stand at the moment, Matt, and you will know this well because you've debated it on your programme on many occasions, we have between 30 to 34% of people who have a private pension and the rest don't. They'll have to rely on the state pension in the future. And the generation of citizens at the moment that are concerned about the cost of living today, and I know why they are, I know all the difficulties we have with rent levels and mortgage payments, and we're looking to make progress on all of them. I want to ensure that in a few decades' time, those same citizens have the ability to access a pension and have a pension in later life. And money that is available to me after I've dealt with infrastructural difficulties, after I've invested in other things, I'm going to use that funding to look at how we can support a better pension model for our entire country.
So, sorry, just to clarify, does that suggest a different type of SSIA might become available if it was linked to pension savings?
No, that's not what I'm suggesting. Minister Regina Doherty, a number of months ago, published a pension master plan where she has outlined a number of options whereby if people set aside money purely and only for their pension in the future, we would find ways of incentivising that deposit to happen. And that is what I am going to choose to do with the taxes that the country make available to me.
So no SSIA has been suggested by IBEC?
I will not be doing that. As I look at where we stand at the moment, we've incomes growing by 3% per year. We're going to have an economy that will grow by 4% per year, assuming and planning that we can deal with the Brexit challenge. there are so many things going well in our country, but we also have many issues that we need to address that you've just raised with me. I have to make choices regarding how I invest for the future. And if I come into the choice between how we can invest for pensions in the future, as opposed to how we can incentivise those who can save to then go and save, I'm going to make the choice in relation to better pension coverage.
Minister Pascal Donoghue, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.